Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present. Greetings to missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, who is also present here, and his wife Ruth, and those accompanying him. It is truly a great blessing to be here in Torreón, Coahuila, Mexico. And I also greet all the ministers, brothers and sisters, from the different places here in Mexico, and also those who are coming from different countries who are here as well. Today, Friday, September 26th of this year, 2025, our subject is Fear God. It was preached on Sunday, June 23 of 2013 in Cayey, Puerto Rico. As our brother Miguel said, it is a blessing for me. I have wanted to be here for a long time, and today, since yesterday, see, it has come true. And to complete the blessing, he allowed me to have Miguel here with me. And that is already a great blessing for me, that God had granted me to have him here with me as well, and with all of you too, as well, along with my wife Sarah. My sons-in-law are also here with me. In other words, today we are celebrating. It is a joy to be here again. I think that since 2010, perhaps, around that time, or I don't know if you have the date there since the last time I came here, but I think it was before that. In other words, it's been a while since I have been here to Torreón. But the time has flown by, and today I am here with you, live and in full color. Well, let's search there in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 to 5, where it tells us, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell." Yep, "I say unto you, fear him." Fear God. You may please be seated if you're so kind. Today, Friday, September 26th of this year, 2025. In Proverbs, there it also tells us, in chapter 24, or in chapter 9 of Proverbs, verse 9 and on, it tells us, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man." Teach a just man, and he will increase his learning. And there he draws a Star of David there to the left. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he draws another Star of David there on the left as well. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And in an arrow there towards the left side, and he draws a cornerstone and the edges, and the arrow towards the cornerstone. In the message, reverential fear. Dr. William Soto tells us, which was preached on January 26th of 2014 in Lima, Peru. He says, and when the person is able to see that entire divine program for the time in which he lives, he can hear the word of God for the time in which he lives, and he can see the divine order being manifested and God working by his spirit through a man in every age. He is seeing God's manifestation promised for that time, because God is in his holy temple, which is no longer the tabernacle that Moses built, nor the temple that King Solomon built. Rather, it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that happens in the heavenly temple is then manifested here in the spiritual temple, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, for something to happen in the midst of the church, something has to happen in the heavenly temple, because the representation of the heavenly temple here on earth is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the church is where the fear of God has been. Is in the church where the fear of God, the reverential fear, has been from stage to stage. In the message, Abraham restored. Reverend William Branham tells us there that on an occasion, he was, here it is on page 30 of this message. And he was in an activity. And he starts narrating there, he says, I've come in all kinds of tight places where devils and everything else rise up. I seen them smitten blind, struck down, and everything else. Don't fear. Stay right there at the word. Watch what God does. Just be sure that you are right with God. Stay with that word and watch what happens. If Brother Argenbright is sitting near, he could tell you the story. I was thinking now of 15 witch doctors on one side and 15 on the other side, called up a storm to blow away the tent. Called up a storm to blow away the tent in Switzerland, and he writes there on the side, the tent. Or I believe it was in France or in Germany, going to blow away the tent. In other words, the tienda is referring to the tent. In English is tent, and in Spanish is la carpa. Told us they was going to do it, and sat there and cut those feathers and started going through maneuvers, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three high words they said, all like that. And notice the impersonation. Remember in Expectations, I think he talks about it, something there. Now, they are trying to impersonate something there. And here come the storm up, like when Moses cast down the rod and it became a serpent. The magicians did the same thing, an imitation. Of course, they couldn't turn them back into rods. They couldn't undo the evil. They could produce diseases and things, but they couldn't take them away. Disease and all of that comes from the fifth dimension. He also says something about the fourth dimension. And here comes the storm up. Brother Argenbright will tell you the same thing. Where ten of thousands of people, the tent jumping up and down, meaning the tent was moving. And I said, pray, Brother Argenbright. I said, Brother Loster, don't interpret this. I said, Heavenly Father, I landed off that plane up here in the name of Jesus Christ because you sent me here. You promised that you would take care of me. What can I do in a case like this? And there on the left, now when he says, I rebuke this storm in the name of Jesus Christ, there on the left he writes, I rebuke it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that in the vision, which is works is faith expressed in that message, which is in the book of quotations, that portion on page 163 and 164 from the book in Spanish, when he tells us there, house of hell, give away in the name of Jesus Christ. That's in paragraph 1458. There, Brother William writes there above. He writes new, meaning in the new name. When this is fulfilled, it is under the new name of the Lord. But here, notice, it is under the dispensation of grace, which the name under that dispensation is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, when he says that, in one flat second, that storm parted right over the tent and moved back. Thunder began to roll back like that, and thousands ran to the altar to get saved. And the witch doctors was defeated. That man setting out in the meeting, trying to throw one of them spells on me, to make me bark like a dog, to show off in there. He didn't know, sitting there. And I kept feeling that odd spirit, I thought. I hate to call that because he's somebody's friend. Jesus said, let them grow up together. You pull up the wheat when you pull up the weeds. And I kept going there, and he kept on. Now look, to avoid speaking something against him there, notice the scripture that came to him, because he says, maybe he is the friend of someone who is friend of mine, or someone who is of the message, and to prevent the person who is with him from also receiving some of what may come to that person, he thought on that scripture of let both grow together. See, he is in the midst among the people. Right there, he was there. After a while, the Holy Spirit kept speaking to me, and I turned, I said, now he is addressing him directly. You, deceiver, why would you come into the meeting, the service of God, to try to deceive somebody? And he kept looking around like I was talking to. In other words, he was speaking to him and he was like, as if to say, is he speaking to me? Is he talking to me? Or when one is, or someone calls you and you ask, are you talking to me? And I said, it is you I'm talking to. I called his name. Remember these days? We spoke about how, about that time, he says, perhaps there won't even be a need to mention names, but if it is a need to do so, it will be done, because there in the days of Ananias and Sapphira, those names were mentioned there. That is, it is known, see? Or perhaps not. and the word itself takes care of identifying them. And I called his name, I said, because that you did this to the Spirit of God, somebody will pack you out of here. And he is still paralyzed. That is, to this day, he is still paralyzed. See? Wrote a letter and said, what I must do? I said, repent. Said, come, take this off of me. I said, I never had nothing to do with it coming on you. You brought it on yourself. The Bible said, it's far better that a millstone had hanged at your neck and you drown in the depths of the sea than to offend the anointed of God. That applies directly to the messenger, and that also applies to the children of God. Whoever offends one of these little ones. In the unedited book of the ages, we read recently what he said, Brother Branham there, if you can find the page quickly, I don't have the unedited book of the ages here, but he said there, offend. Do you know what that is? Just offend one of God's elect, it'd be better for that person to have never been born, just for offending. Notice how careful we must be with each other. And we should ask God to help us not to offend any of God's elect. And may God forgive us if we have done so. We ask him sincerely, Lord, forgive me, it wasn't my intention. Now I am more aware of how delicate this scripture is. Now I understand more. Now I comprehend more. Now help me, Lord, not to commit that act against one of your elect, nor against the anointed one. Help me, Father, and he will continue to help us. It's in the book of the ages, the unedited one, in page 565 from the book in Spanish. That's right. We've lost our fear for God, the respect for Christians, notice, for our fellow believers. Oh, how we ought to get back to God. In the message, the greatest battle ever fought. There he tells us on page 8, this is in the book of quotations, that portion or a part of that portion. This is the first paragraph in mind. Surely it is the one found on page 62. That's in paragraph, let's see here. The paragraph 547. And here in the booklet, it's in page 8. But I'm going to continue after I finish this paragraph. I will read from the booklet in Spanish. It says, and then we seen all along the road the hand of the Lord. Wherever we went, the Lord Jesus would meet with us. And there is something about being out to yourself out in the desert. There is something about it, that if you've ever alone that way, there is something that draws you. That, I guess, is one reason I like those out away places. You get away from the power of the enemy, so much as we have here. A devil is almost harmless unless he can have something to work in. That's where that excerpt begins there. Here in the book of quotations, he writes, the serpent, Cain, Judas, the Antichrist, the beast, and several scriptures. And also in the book of quotations, there on top he writes, the devil cannot cause harm if he doesn't have anyone to work with. You remember those devils that were cast out of Legion? They want to do more mischievousness, so they wanted to go in the hogs. So, devils must have something to work in, somebody to work through. And that's the way God does, too. He has to have us. He's depending on us to work through us. And there at the end, at the top of page 63, in the continuation of that verse, of that excerpt, he writes, "The head needs a body to work." Now, he goes on to say, in the booklet, "And many came while we were on the trip with dreams, and the Lord Jesus never failed, but give the interpretation correctly, and just be that, just exactly that way. And then he was good to us, to lead us to the game and tell us where it was. And, you know, just to be around like that, it's just wonderful," said around the night, by the campfire, away from everybody, for miles and miles and miles, and watch the flickering campfire around the rocky rims. And, oh, it was tremendous. One brother there, who had been having trouble with his wife, that had, years ago, she raised her head in a meeting. There he writes at the bottom, "The woman who raised her head, where that I was having service, and I had asked them to keep their head down, had an evil spirit that wouldn't leave a woman on the platform." In the book of quotations, there's an excerpt where he also speaks about this. I believe he writes, "Curse is the man who looks or raises his eyes." Let's see if we can find it. It must be in the first pages. "When I pray for her," he says something like that. Let's see if it's on page 15, in the paragraph 104. There too. This was another case. But look, there he also says the same thing. That is, he asks people not to raise their eyes while he is praying about halfway. "Cursed be the person that raises their eyes while I'm praying for this blind woman." That's what I was doing, see? The Lord is fixing to visit His people in a great, marvelous something, friends. And I would. It has to be a secret in my own heart. And there to the left, he draws a Star of David and he writes, "The little room in the tent." That's upwards. And that is where he writes, "The woman who raised." The woman who, he writes, raised, and he writes, "her eyes." Meaning, it was in that moment when he was praying. Because, notice, what he then tells us about this woman here, who irreverently raised her head, despite him asking them not to do so. He was praying for someone who had an evil spirit. This is another case. But notice, "And I had asked them to keep their heads down, had an evil spirit that wouldn't leave a woman on a platform, and the lady just irreverent, raised her head anyhow, and the spirit left the woman on the platform and went to her." There is a place where he says it enters that it enters through the eyes, and the person looked. Everyone was praying reverently, and that person looked, and that spirit, whoosh, went into her. And this is around 14 years. And the lady has been in a serious condition, so much, even mentally, till she just does things that's not even right. For instance, left her own husband, went and married another man while she was living with her husband, claimed she didn't know she'd done it, and so they tried to examine her for this. What is it called that? When you... amnesia? My. ever what name it is. I guess that's right, doctor. But it wasn't that. It was a spirit, and her and the lady was a fine friend of mine. But from that night on, she deliberately hated me. Of course, you can see why it was. Imagine, because of what happened. Well, let's say they blamed Brother Branham. But then, when her husband came and we knelt, notice the importance of obedience. What he was telling them was, bow your heads, be reverent. There always has to be someone who says, no, why I should bow? Who is he to tell me this? Obedience is very, very important. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But then, when her husband came and we knelt in the room to pray, then the Holy Spirit came down. That was it. Then, he appeared to her husband that night in a dream. He came back with a dream. That is, God appeared to him, to the husband. He thought it was jokey. Come to find out, it was the very answer to his wife's healing. How that the Holy Spirit did deal on down into Tucson with Brother Norman and them. And there the Lord began to work again with great powerful things and revealing things. One night, what drew me to this conclusion here, I was standing with Brother Wood and Brother Southman, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and I was looking up towards the sky, and a great awe came over me, and I said, just look, all that great heavenly host. And I said, everything is perfectly in harmony. And Brother Wood said, looking at two little stars, there on the right he writes two stars, and on the left, a star of David. Looking at two little stars so close together that it made it look like a light. Now notice that account there. How Brother Branham tells us that this wife was not reverent, meaning she was irreverent to what the prophet had told the congregation to do. Now, Dr. William Soto continues here, which is very important, because just as Moses covered his face and knelt down in reverence, he bowed down to the ground before the angel of the covenant where God was. Likewise, the believers in Christ from age to age would be doing the same thing in the spiritual realm, with reverential fear before the presence of Christ in the midst of his church in Holy Spirit. And they will be hearing the voice of God through Christ in Holy Spirit speaking to his church from age to age through the messenger relevant to each age. In the message, The Stature of a Perfect Man, where he defines each virtue for us, notice each of those stages. And let's read the one that pertains to godliness. Which is on page 41, godliness, which would be the sixth. Because the first is faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly love, and the eighth, love, divine love. Now, he says here on page 41, he says, fifthly, add godliness. Oh my, godliness to be added. What does godliness mean? I looked in four or five dictionaries and couldn't even find what it meant. Finally, I was down at Brother Jeffrey's, and we find it in a dictionary. Godliness means to be like God. Oh my, after you've got faith, there is a writing there in the back where he writes, in the notes, fear of God equals to be like God. Ye are gods. In other words, if you have fear of God, you are like God. You can say, I have fear of God. Therefore, I am like you, O God. After you got faith, virtue, in other words, be like God. After you got faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, then be like God.
Phew.
And you say, I cannot do that, Brother Branham. Oh, yes, you can. Because all things are possible to him that believes. I can. Yes, I can. Let me just read you a few scriptures here. Just a minute. Matthew 5:48. We'll take this one and see what it sounds like. Matthew 5:48. And see if you're supposed to be like God. You know, the Bible says, ye are gods. Jesus said so. Why? All the virtues, all the things that's in God is in you. Matthew 5:48. Be ye, Jesus speaking in the Beatitude. Be ye therefore, P-E-R-F-E-C-T. What's that? Perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And on the left, upwards, he writes, fear of God. You got way up here now. Before you're asked to do that, all these things had to be added first. Then, when you get up here, he's asking you now to be perfect. Godliness, sons and daughters of God, that's right. How many things I could say along that line? And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Remember last night? Don't try to take the other man's office, see? And some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. And on the right he draws a cornerstone in the ages. For the perfection of God? Does it read like that? The perfection of what? Who are the saints? The sanctified ones. Amen. The ones started from down here. Perfecting of the saints for the working of the ministry of Jesus Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the edifying, building it up, edifying. And there at the bottom he writes, each angel brings a virtue to the church in their age. Each angel brings a virtue to the church in their age. And here he draws a cornerstone, and the ages on the right, at the end of, for the edifying, building it up, identifying the cornerstone and the ages there, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to the perfect man, unto the assurance of, oh my, to the measure of the stature of a fullness of Christ. Perfect takes godliness. You have to add to your faith godliness. See, you start off down here with virtue, then you go to the knowledge, then you go to temperance, then you go to patience. Now you're on godliness. Godliness, oh my, our time is getting away, let's see. But you know that what godliness meant. You've sang this song. And there he sings that song, to be like Jesus. We used to sing that one before, remember? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. We sang it many times. That's godliness. When he was smite on one side of the face, he turned the other. When he was spoken rough to, he didn't speak. He didn't rile back. See, godly. Always looking for one thing. I always do which pleases the Father. And sometimes over a little word that someone says to us or that someone writes to us, we get riled up. We get angry over a little thing. Imagine when they say something worse. But look, he didn't answer them or get angry. He was godly, always looking for one thing. I always do that which pleases the Father. See? Yes, sir. Always. That's godliness. See? Because remember, and at this end time, even more so, you, by receiving that manna, that title deed, you have the sword. And whatever is spoken at this time, can either create blessings or can harm that other person. That is why we have to be careful about what we say. And we are in a testing time, because if you don't know how to use that sword, it might be taken away from you. How? Where is that in the scripture? Well, doesn't Revelation says, hold fast thy crown? In other words, all this shows that the person can lose it. May God help us to use that sword right, to place the word right. May everything that comes out of our mouth be to speak positively, to create things for the magnification of the kingdom, not words to destroy. Never speak words to destroy things, to hurt people, to hurt groups. Never, never do that. Instead, keep your mouth shut and pray to God that when you do speak, look, that happened in the case of, was it Balaam or Balak? Balaam, that when he brought him to, if you can find the scripture quickly, to curse the people, when he stood up to curse them, bam, he would bless them. So, if a thought or something comes to you to speak badly about someone, may the Spirit of God come and speak positive things, and may the enemy, as I said these days, be blinded by the light. That is, it's an expression, because he's in darkness, but he's caught off guard. That would be the same. He would be taken by surprise, but how? If he had the feeling and the opportunity to curse and speak badly about those people, how is he now blessing them? See? Numbers 22, that's where that case is. Let's take a look at that for a moment there. Numbers 22. Let's see where it says it exactly, to avoid reading the whole thing. Oh, yes, from verse 6. But let's see. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that there are round about, as the ox licketh up the grass on the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. There on the right he writes, the lineage of Lot. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover their face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people. See? There he is looking for him to curse these people, for they are too mighty for me. Preadventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and there came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. In other words, Balak was the one who sent Balaam. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them, and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. May that thought always come to our minds. Don't speak words of curse upon an elect, nor evil, because they are blessed. And there he draws a star of David to the right. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. Now, from this you can already, because it is that whole scripture where he shows how instead of cursing them, he cursed them. You can read it, the whole thing later on. But notice, may that desire also comes to us. Now, he goes on to say, here where we have paused, on page 42 from the message, The Stature of a Perfect Man. That's godliness. See, after you don't come from here to here to here to here to here. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the number six, the age number six. Now you're coming into the full stature now of a son of God. But you got to have this plus all this. And you cannot even start until you get this. Now, remember the black bird with peacock feathers. Don't forget him. See, don't try to add it till you're actually born again. Because you, it won't work. And this is fulfilled in its entirety at this end time in the edge of the cornerstone. And you can't make it work. It'll come to this, or this here. It'll crumble somewhere. But when you get down here, a genuine born-again dove, then don't add nothing. It adds to you. See? Comes on up. All right. Coming into perfection now. All right. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, let's always have that reverential fear. Let's always be careful in that way when we enter the church, the temple. Keep that reverential fear. Remember, you come to worship God, to sing psalms, hymns to God. In the message, respect, which is an excerpt that I included in this study for Brother William here, which is for this message, Fear God, and here, in this portion, of this Bible study, this is the message, Respects, which would be on page 17 of the message. It says, how I could stand with testimony for hour after hour of what I've seen in my lifetime, what I've seen in the other countries, in the other parts of the nation, and so forth, the things that's taken place. But to omit that, just so that you will get the idea of what I'm trying to say to you, you must respect it. I've seen young people sit in the meeting and snicker and laugh in a meeting, meaning about what's happening, making fun. He says that he has noticed, like mocking and laughing, snickering, because they might cover their mouths or He has seen them, Brother Branham says. I've seen young people sit in the meeting and snicker and laugh in a meeting, and less than 24 hours be crushed into the streets. I've seen young people sit in a meeting in 1 year when I was in a place, the next, maybe within 6 months, go back to the same place, and practically every one of them was gone, or slain, stricken somewhere, with diseases and things. That's right. You have to respect it. Remember a certain young girl one night, Tennessee, when I was going out the door, preaching at a Baptist church, a big Baptist church. I was going out the door, and I felt led that night to call her to come to Christ. In other words, he saw her and felt, he felt the calling to tell her, to invite her. Well, she laughed in my face when I called her to come to Christ. She happened to be one of the deacon's daughters. Take a look at that, what a coincidence. And standing at the door that night, she waited for me, and I come out. She said, I want you to know something right now. Don't you never embarrass me like that again. I said, God was calling you. She said, nonsense. I'm young. Said, I got plenty of time for that. Said, my daddy's got enough religion for all of us at home. I said, not enough for you, sister. Everyone has to have their own religion. She said, if I want anybody to talk to me about that, I'll get somebody that's got some sense, not somebody like you. Look at that, how disrespectful. I said, go, say what you wish to. See, he didn't get riled up. Once you let, the word itself will take care of it. I said, go, say what you wish to. You don't bother me, but someday you'll regret it. Not long after that, passed through the same city, here she come down the street with her underskirt hanging down, slopping with a cigarette in her hand, and offered me a drink of whiskey, same thing, and here's her testimony. She said, you remember the night you called me there? Said, that was the truth. She said, the Spirit of God was testifying to me that night, trying to get me to come, and said, since then, I could see my mother's soul fry in hell like a pancake and laugh at it. That's what happened. See? You've got to respect God. That's all. You've got to do it, brother. That's all. Now, there he, Brother William, continues to say, you come to worship God, to sing psalms, hymns to God, to ask for His blessing, to offer your prayers to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at that time, notice how we can differentiate one dispensation from another. Remember that the church bride has that knowledge today. Now it is in the new name of the Lord. And to hear the voice of God through Christ in Holy Spirit, His voice, the voice of the Word, bringing us, giving us His revealed Word for the time in which we have been given to live. That's how it's been from age to age, and also from dispensation to dispensation. In the Book of the Seals, He also spoke to us about that reverence in the place of worship, that is, the place where the services are held, on page 14. He tells us there, in the last paragraph, he says, and now, just remember now what we are dedicated to reverence, holiness, quietness, before the Lord, worship before the Lord, and be just as reverent as you can be in the house of the Lord. And now, and when the service is dismissed, immediately after the service is dismissed, go from the building. See? And that gives the janitor time to get in here and clean it for the next time and get ready. And then it's not a confusion in the house of the Lord, Ed. I think you place will be cleared out in about 15 minutes after the service is dismissed. He sets that time because that place was small. But in a large place, it takes a bit more longer by the time people reverently leave the place where the activity is held, and that's how it should be everywhere. Be sure to be friendly, shake hands with everybody, and invite everybody back. And we expect to have, this coming week now, one of the most solemn services that's ever been held in this tabernacle. We're looking forward to it. And he draws a Star of David there on the left. Now, look, also here in this message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. On page 85 from the book in Spanish, Reverend William Branham tells us there, "Glory, that great angel of the covenant, that one who was with Moses in the wilderness, that one who came to Paul on the road to Damascus," and he writes there to the left, "the pillar of fire." And on top he writes, "the angel of the covenant" equals Revelation 10:1. That one, that same one permitted his picture to be taken with us, the same one that was in the picture in the Life magazine the other day. The same word, by the same God, through the same channels, by the same way, by the same promise. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Then he is here. The angels of God are encamped about those who fear him. And he writes there to the right, "the fear of God that hangs only to his word." No man can respect that word without fearing God. See? And there he writes at the bottom, "the angels of God are encamped about," an ellipsis. "The angels of God are encamped about," an ellipsis. And at the bottom there, "those who fully trust his word." Those who fully trust his word. And look, on the back, he writes, in the notes, he writes, "godliness," a colon, "no man can respect the word without having fear of God." He writes, "godliness," a colon, "no man can respect the word without having fear of God." In the message, the importance of teaching the gospel of the kingdom, Dr. William Soto tells us, preached on December 27 of 2014 in Cayey, Puerto Rico, he says, "our children must grow not only in height, but also in wisdom, which they obtain when we teach them, because teaching is a power. With that power of teaching, lawyers, doctors, engineers, and so forth are trained, and parents and teachers, with the power of teaching, rise boys and girls with values, with principles, and most importantly, with the fear of God, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom." Now, look, that's what the parents of those children who mocked Elisha didn't do. They called him old bald head. And they started to mock him. Look, it says here in this message, respects. On page 23 of the message, which is also in this Bible study, that excerpt, it says, And remember another time, there was some irreverent children. They had been raised up in a home. Elijah, after his days, of course, the people hated him because he called that famine in the land. There were some people that taught their children that Elijah, a man like that, being translated and taken into heaven, he got killed somewhere, and they just buried him and hid him. They didn't believe it. In other words, that was the testimony given by all those people who didn't believe in Elijah. So Elisha took his place. Now, he was the messenger of the day now, after Elijah had been taken up. Because when God takes away one messenger, another one is already ready for God to use. In other words, God always has a messenger on earth to bring blessings to those who receive him and curse to those who reject him. So he passed down through a certain city, and the children, little children of that city, run out making fun of him, saying, "Say, you old baldhead, why didn't you go up like Elijah did?" Mocking an event that had happened. See, they didn't believe Elijah went up. There it is. It wasn't the disrespecting the man. It was disrespecting his message. That is, when they speak against a ministry, that is against the work that that ministry is carrying out, against the fulfillment of what that prophet is carrying out, which was a promise that was spoken and that he is now fulfilling. To speak against that messenger is to speak against the work that the Holy Spirit is carrying out through that messenger. He was the successor to Elijah. To Elijah, he corrects himself. Elijah, he had the anointing. The spirit of Elijah was upon him. He went right up there and done the very same things that Elijah did. Hallelujah. And above he writes, they disrespected Elijah's successor and his message and God. They disrespected Elijah's successor and his message and God. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Yes, these signs shall follow them that believe." They disrespected it. And they disrespected Elijah because he believed in Elisha, because the Spirit was upon him, and he turned around and smote the Jordan with his mantle, and opened up the Jordan, went up and done the same kind of miracles that Elijah did. And even all the preachers up there in the school of the prophets said, "The Spirit of Elijah rests upon Elijah," noised abroad in the country, meaning that news spread. And the people, I bet they laughed to one another, said, hey, look at it. They say that bunch of holy rollers, fanatics, saying that man went to heaven without dying, horses come down. We didn't see any. Certainly, they didn't. Certainly not. They didn't. We didn't see any horses. We didn't hear any chariots anywhere. Nonsense. The old fellow died and they buried him. And they are trying to make a lot of to-do over it. Just like they say today, the same thing. Like they said about Jesus. They said, why? They come and stole his body at nighttime. They even paid soldiers to testify that, but he rised from the dead. And Elijah was took up in a chariot of fire with horses of fire. And when this young prophet walked along there, going down through the city, and he had lost his hair, a young man, he was going down. So these little children ran behind him, said, "Hey, why didn't you go up with Elijah?" Said, "You old bald-headed, you." See? And they was giving disrespect. And what did Elijah did? He turned in the power of the Spirit and cursed those children. Now, he did get riled up there. Judgment did come down then, because the prophet is the divine judgment, and he can speak blessings, but if the person, look at that group of children, are in the line of judgment, they will receive judgment. They will receive judgment. May God help us to stand before the prophet in blessings. And to receive blessings. What happened? Two she-bears came from the woods and killed 42 of them. And he writes there 42 children. Right? Disrespect, irreverent. You cannot do that. You've got to respect God. If any of them kids had said, now, if their father and mother had said, in other words, notice the teaching then, because that then comes from the parents. Something happened to me once, not long ago, in a place involving someone's son. I felt sorry for him because they, perhaps they aren't to blame. The parents are to blame, but I felt sorry for him, sadness, saddened, because of the way that that young man acted. And we don't know how God will see it then. But one keeps on going. Now, if their father and mother had said, now, look, children, they say that Elijah was taken up, meaning that's what they say. Now, we don't know about that. But anyhow, I don't know whether it's so or not, but I tell you that the best thing to do is just don't say nothing about it. Look at how simple it is. That was the best lesson for your children. If you truly love them, if you truly love your children, look, I don't understand what's going on, but if you come across something or you hear something or you see something, it's better to shut your mouth. Just stay quiet. Just go ahead. When he passes, we hear he's coming down through the city today. That means he's having activities in several places. Like, for example, he's going to stop by Torreón. We hear he's going to stop by Torreón. And if it's one of those families that still doesn't understand, he's going to stop by there. Look, boys, we'd better stay quiet. And what we can do instead is pray so that the whole activity goes well. Because what good is it to talk about things that are not edifying? It is of no good at all. Now he says, going to have a street meeting up there. If he does, if you, children, on the road to school today meet him, just say, how do you do, Reverend? How do you do, sir? Or something like that. Speak to him. Look, speak the word, but with respect, speak to him. But instead of that, no doubt they had been told at home, oh, they heard Papa or Mama sitting at the table and laughing one another, saying, what do you know? They said that old holy roller was taken up. Did you ever believe anything like that? And they said, this little old bald-headed fellow, just as bald-headed as a pumpkin up there, he ain't over about 35 years ago, and here he's coming down through here, and said he's going to hold a street meeting. Expect us to believe such nonsense as that. Today is the same thing, but in the present day fulfillment today. And there he writes on the right, Elijah, 35 years old. Why, he isn't nothing but a little, just a mockery. That's all it is. Because he won't come to our churches. He's just like Elijah was. He won't come to our churches. He'll probably some kind of witchcraft, hoodoo, hoax, that he's got, like Elijah. They didn't believe him. So the little children was taught that at home. If they had been taught reverence and respect, they'd have walked out there before that prophet of God and asked a prayer for themselves. There on the left, look, he writes, our brother William there in the margin, he writes there, the 42 children, youngsters, were taught in their homes against Elijah and Elisha to be scoffers, mockers. The 42 children, youngsters, were taught, meaning they taught them, in their homes against Elijah and Elisha to be mockers. But they had been taught to snicker and laugh and to make fun about, like the children of today, an ellipsis, too many of them will make fun of the street meeting. They'd make fun of the preaching of the gospel. So Elijah cursed them in the name of the Lord, not because of the children, but because of the irreverent parents that had brought the children up that way to disrespect God. Two she-bears come out and killed 42 of them. And he writes there again, 42 youngsters. Now, that's irreverence. God demands respect. When they disrespected his prophet, they disrespected him. And he writes, God, no matter how much they didn't believe, they ought to kept their mouth shut. How many times has it been said, if you don't understand something, keep your mouth shut? They should have kept their mouth shut. Stay away from it. And there he writes, Elisha equals second Elijah. But no, they had to put in their nickel's worth. They had to say something that they ought not have said. And what happened to them? Look, we already know what happened to them. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, no matter how much knowledge a person has, and even if they say he is the wisest man on earth, if he doesn't fear God, he lacks the most important thing to be a wise man. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Here as well, in this Bible study, look, in that same message, respects, on page 12 of that message, respects, it says, but I want to bring another thing into your remembrance. If God sent the messenger and vindicated by the signs that he was the messenger sent by God, then it's up to them to obey this messenger. Exactly. They must obey the messenger and have respects to that messenger. Look at Joshua and Caleb. They stayed right by his side. Yes, sir. Whatever Moses was in, they was in it. They was in it too. Whether Moses was right or wrong, they stayed right with him anyhow. See? Because they knowed that was God's messenger. And there he writes on the side, Moses, whether Moses was right or wrong, Joshua and Caleb stayed right with him because they knew that Moses was God's messenger. Whether Moses was right or wrong. In other words, that means, but how is it possible that he is doing this or doing that that didn't cause Joshua and Caleb to stumble or anything? Instead, that is the messenger. We must follow him. Whatever he does that is between him and God, he will answer to God, because no one judges a prophet, and much less a dispensational one. Whether Moses was right or wrong, Joshua and Caleb stayed right with him because they knew that Moses was God's messenger. And he goes on to say, and there one day we find out that even Miriam, a prophetess, and Aaron, the high priest, made fun of Moses' wife because she was an Ethiopian, and thought, meaning she was a woman of color, and thought, wasn't there enough women in our own group to marry instead of going down there and marrying that woman? That wasn't Moses' choice. That was God's choice for Moses. And when they made fun of it, that angered God in such a way until he struck Miriam, the prophetess, full of leprosy, Moses' own sister. What about that? Her, a prophetess. But what was she doing? She was making fun and an irreverence to God's messenger, the messenger of the covenant of that day. And there on the right he writes, Moses was the messenger of the covenant. And on the left he writes, Miriam and Aaron mocked Moses' wife, and she was irreverent to Moses. And she was irreverent, and also Aaron, the high priest, the very mouthpiece of Moses, that's right, he was with her. And Aaron then, when he saw his sister struck with leprosy, he went in and told Moses, would you let your own sister die? And Moses went into the tabernacle and fell before the Lord and began to weep and call out for God, mercy for his sister. And the Spirit of the Lord came down and said, call Aaron and Miriam to stand here before me. Oh my. Look, that's what happened on the day when Peter, the day of, when Ananias and Sapphira appeared before the Holy Spirit because he was in Peter, and we see those days here too. He called him to stand before me, before the presence of Moses. Look at the days of Ananias and Sapphira in the Old Testament. God demands respect. God sends his message. You listen to it and you reverence it. Don't care if they call you a bunch of holy rollers or whatever they call it. Let the world do what they want to. But you give respect. And he writes, you give respect. So there stood Miriam. God said, call Miriam and call Moses, or call Aaron here, your brother and sister, to stand before me. And when they come in before God, God said, don't you fear God? And he writes it there on the right as a question. He writes, don't you fear God? Said that to the high priest and to Miriam, the prophetess, said, if there be any, a man among you, who's spiritual or a prophet, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him. I will speak to him in visions and reveal myself in dreams to him, and so forth, if he's spiritual or a prophet, but said, my servant Moses, I speak lip to ear with him, said, don't you fear God? In other words, you talk about Moses, you're talking about me. If you cannot respect Moses, you don't respect me, said, haven't I proof among you that he is my servant? And you have no reverence for him at all. What that would be a lesson for the people of this day. No respect, no honor. Now, he said, and because you didn't do that, that's the reason you got leprosy. That's the reason these things has went. Said, because you ought to have known that this was my servant. You do know it, so when you say something against him, you're saying it against me. So Moses prayed for her life to be spared, and God did spare her life. She didn't live very long afterward. She died. But she did get cleansed of her leprosy and was out of the camp for 7 days, you know, for having it for purification, getting herself clean again from her leprosy. God healed her. But what he was trying to get to them was this: you've got to respect what I do. And there he writes to the right, you've got to respect what God does. And if that was the attitude of God in that day, and God cannot change, God wants us to respect what he's doing, he demands it, said, you either respect that or something else is going to happen. A man told me the other day, he said, A poor man weeps over here in the market for a living. He's had a breakdown, in very bad shape. He's Lutheran by faith, and they had had communion. He's too unable to walk to the church, so he took a cab. Said it cost him 80 cents to go down and 80 cents to come back. His neighbor, very ungodly, seen him praying the Lord's Prayer one morning and laughed at him, made fun of him. He said to this man, where'd you go in a cab this morning? Said it was communion, meaning it was the Holy Communion. It was the communion. I went down to the church. He said, what is communion? Said, when we take the bread and the wine. He said, I had mine too. I had mine too this morning at the table with a slice of a light bread and a pint of whiskey. See? I know of three boys one time that mocked communion in the church. No of them. And they went up in the hotel room and got some ham sandwiches and a bottle of whiskey and had their communion up there, making fun of the communion they had in a Pentecostal church. Less than 3 months after that, all three was, one of them was dead, and two was in the insane institution, because sooner or later they either die or end up insane. They lose their minds. You cannot disrespect God. You've got to respect God. If you don't believe it, just keep still, keep away from it, or either do that or come reverently and respect it. Don't make fun of the people in the Spirit. Don't talk about the people that's worshiping in the Spirit of God. Let them alone. What a recommendation Brother Branham gives us there. And that is spoken so that later they don't say, I didn't hear it, that wasn't preached, that wasn't said. Yes, it has been said. It has been said for some time. And there you put that together on page 500 or 359 or 369 of the seals, where they had been in meetings like this. They had heard all these things. They knew what those prophets had foretold. They were facing the very things that those prophets had spoken, but they spurned God's mercy for the last time. They hear it in the different ways that there are in this time and that are available. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say there, that is why it is important to teach them the Word of God, to teach them the history of God's people, of the Hebrew people, and that history of the Hebrew people is the type and figure of what would become the history of Christianity. Look, I recently saw, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, when they shared the news with me, or this morning, that when the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, went up to the podium in the UN, many people began to stand up and leave, turning their backs on the Prime Minister of Israel there. Whoever turns their back on Israel, God will also turn his back on you. In other words, that doesn't mean it's over. May God have mercy. As I said yesterday, on the Latin America and Caribbean people, may God see that the people don't agree with those leaders who are against Israel. No son and daughter of God who loves the sacred scriptures and the prophecies and the promises that God spoke through the holy prophets in the Old Testament, that He spoke through the Master Himself, the chief rabbi, Jesus, none of God's elect, of the Christians who believe in the promises, are in favor of these men who are against Israel. Therefore, may God see the people. May God not see the people through those leaders. May God see the people through the ministries of Moses and Elijah, so that the Latin American and Caribbean people may obtain mercy. God, don't take into account, Lord, don't take into account the decisions of these leaders who don't know about the sacred scriptures. Instead of reading books on how to learn how to govern and how to try to win the elections, read the Bible, which is what you are all lacking for. Each of these leaders should be given a Bible so that they learn the true laws, the divine laws. That is what the presidents of nations need, the sacred scriptures. Why don't they pass a law and have the law declare, read the Bible, and then you can sit here in the UN? I bet they wouldn't pass that law. And when you read the Bible, then you can be a part of the UN. Oh, but there's a people of God who will be a part of an UN. But that is the heavenly UN. That is where the title deed will be fully in His children. And we are worthy to sit with the Son of Man in the throne and kingdom of David. Now, look. He goes on to say there, to teach our children the word of God, to teach them the history of God's people, of the Hebrew people. And that history is a type and figure of what would become the history of Christianity. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christianity under the New Covenant, is reflected in Judaism or the Hebrew people. Now, that angel, notice, is the one who comes, of whom it tells us in Revelation chapter 14, he is the one who comes with the everlasting gospel to what? To preach it to the inhabitants. And in one part it says, he says, fear God. That is one of the things that he would be doing and saying. Revelation 14, verse 6 and on, where it tells us, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach it unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And he draws a Star of David there on the right, and he writes Zechariah 4. And also there next to people, he writes Revelation 10 from 1 to 11, and 11 from 3 to 14. Notice, it is that angel is those ministries of the two olive trees, which we see in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 and on, and Zechariah chapter 4. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And he draws a Star of David there on the left, and he writes Isaiah 61, verse 2. Now, in Isaiah, is where it shows us the first and second coming of the Lord, of which Jesus only read the first part and didn't read what it said next, because that pertained to the second coming of the Lord. He read. Look, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped there. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened in him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, he fulfilled that first part. Now, the continuation, what it went on to say was, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. That would pertain to the second coming of the Lord. Now, look, in this other message, which was an end-of-year activity in 2013, there in Calle, Puerto Rico, on the 10th grounds, December 31 of 2013, in Calle, Puerto Rico, he says, therefore, with reverence, with fear, remember that Brother Branham said that the third pool was so sacred that he was reverent to that third pool. In the Book of the Seals, Reverend William Branham tells us on page 465, there about halfway through the page, he says, notice, the breaking of this seal was so great that heaven was hushed by it in silence for the space of a half an hour. Now, is it great? What is it? It was hushed. Heavens, there wasn't a thing moved for half an hour. And he writes there, half an hour. And on the left, he also writes there, half an hour as well, in number form. And he also writes, half an hour of silence upwards. There wasn't a thing moved for a half an hour. Now, a half an hour might not be long if you're having a good time, but in the suspense of between death and life, it seemed like a millennium. And there on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the Star of David, and on the right, he writes suspense. It was so great, Jesus never mentioned it, none of the rest of them. John couldn't even write of it. No, he was forbidden to write here. See, there's just, he didn't write it, but this is silence. And the 40 and 20 elders that stood before God there harping with their harps, they quit playing their harps. The angels hushed their singing in heaven. Think, the holy cherubims and seraphims that Isaiah saw in the temple with six sets or three sets of wings, two over his face and two over his feet, and flying, and he's day and night there before God singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And even when they walked in or come into the temple, the posts of the temple moved with their presence, and these holy seraphims hushed up, angels quit singing, flying in the presence of God singing, holy, 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 they shut up. No angels singing, no praises, no altar service. There on the right he writes Revelation 15, 1, and Revelation 8, 1 to 5. No, nothing. There was silence, hushed, a deadly silence in heaven for a half an hour. And there he draws a Star of David there to the left. And on the right he writes half an hour. And here he writes upwards, silence for half an hour. All the host of heaven was silent for this half hour, when this seventh seal mystery in the Book of Redemption was broke open. Think of it. But it's broke. The Lamb breaks it. There he draws a cornerstone in the ages. You know what? They were awed by it, I believe. They didn't know. There it was. They just stopped. Why? What is it? And there he writes, at the end, he writes reverential fear. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, we have to go into that third pool with respect, with reverence, with love to God, with dedication to Him, and spiritually prepared. Notice everything He tells us that we have to go into that third pool with. It is a very important stage to prepare ourselves for that third pool and for everything that is coming from God, which are great blessings, where the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be as she was in the time of the apostles, of the apostles Peter, Paul, and other apostles. That is how she will be. In the book of Quotations, He talks about how they are apostolic times or days, or that they would return. He says, the apostolic times would return. Now look, in this message, is this the sign of the end, sir? On page 30, Reverend William Branham tells us there. He says, page 30 at the bottom says, I could see those angels, those shaped back wings, traveling faster than sound could travel. They come from eternity in a split like a twinkling of an eye, not enough to bat your eye, just a twinkle. They were there, and he writes there to the left, twinkling of an eye. I didn't have time to count. I didn't have time no more than just look. Mighty ones, great powerful angels, snow white, wings set, and heads, and they were... And when it did, it was caught up into this pyramid of constellations, and I thought, now, this is it. I was numbed all over. And I said, oh my, this means that there will be a blast that will kill me. I am at the end of my road now. I mustn't tell my people when this vision lives. I don't want them to know about this. But the Heavenly Father has to let me know that my time is finished. I won't tell my family, so they will worry about me, because He's fixing to go, and these angels has come for me, and I'll be killed pretty soon now in some kind of explosion. Then it came to me while I was in this constellation, and there he draws a Star of David there to the right. No, that isn't it. If it would have killed you, it would have killed Joseph, and I could hear Joseph calling me. Now, Joseph, remember that he is type and figure of the second coming of the Lord. And he says that in the book of the Hebrews, he says that one day that trumpet will sound and Joseph will step forth, he says, and will say, a body. If you can find that short part there in the book of the Hebrews, Joseph will step forth, or he will say, he will take a step forward. He says something like that. In other words, notice that John, the gospel according to John chapter 5, verse 25, where it says that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and will rise, and he puts there in flesh. Therefore, the second coming of the Lord, notice, under those ministries, they will be speaking to life, to resurrection, and bringing to this dimension those who have departed. It says, I could hear Joseph calling me, and there he writes, Jose and a Star of David. Well, then I turned again and I thought, Lord God, what does this vision mean? And I wondered, and then it came to me, not a voice, just come to me. Oh, that is the angels of the Lord coming to give me my new commission. And he draws a Star of David there to the right, and he writes, the new commission. Hebrews chapter 1, that is where he says, Brother Mike, one of these days, bless your heart, brother, when that great trumpet will come, that sound and that Joseph will step forth, hallelujah, and he'll say, children, and there we will be, made in his likeness. Young forever, old age is passed away, sickness, troubles, sorrows has vanished. Glory be to the living God. The way he says there, look, and he will say, children, he will call them by name, children, and we will be there. In other words, for Brother Branham to come down to the little wooden room, the one who is in there will call him. Come now, Reverend William Branham, come here. And you, come here too. That is, he will call all those who are there. Watch how the resurrection moves, Brother Branham says. And in that stillness, watch how it moves. Oh, may we feel our loved ones soon. And may they say to us there, hello, here I am. Oh, what a joy. And we will say, I know that voice. Dad, mom, or son, if one of our children has departed, you're here again. Yes, Jose called me, and here I am. Blessed be the Lord. And when I thought that, I raised up my hands and I said, oh, Lord Jesus, what will you have me to do? And the vision left me. For almost an hour, I couldn't feel. He writes there, 1 hour. Now you people know what the blessings of the Lord is, but the power of the Lord is altogether different. The power of the Lord is them kind of a places. I felt it many, many times before in vision, but never like that. It feels like a reverent fear. I was so scared till I was paralyzed in the presence of these beings. I tell the truth, as Paul said, I lie not. You never caught me saying anything wrong about something like that, something fixing to happen. Remember that he said to Brother Branham, you must consecrate yourself for the visitation of the angels, of those angels. In other words, you must consecrate yourself. He couldn't just appear before their presence like that. Let's see which page that part is on, where he says, it is in the seventh seal. ...468 from the book in Spanish. Here is the interpretation of that vision. See? Now, to let you know, Brother Softman has not got the game that he was after. We was trying to get it for him. And he said, now, tonight, for a sign to you, he isn't going to do it. You must consecrate yourself at this time for the visitation of these angels. Notice that we always have to do something of our own, give something of ourselves to him. Consecration is what he demands there. Then after a while, I said, Lord Jesus, if I'm going to be killed, let me know, so I won't tell my people about this. But if it's something else, let me know. But nothing answered. After the Spirit left me for about half an hour, I guess, or more, and he writes, half an hour later. Half an hour later, there is the half hour of silence. I said, Lord, if it is, then that I'm going to be killed, and you're finished with me on earth, and I'm going to be taken home now, which, if that's it, that's fine. That's the fourth Elijah speaking, aware that that is going to happen according to Revelation chapter 11. That is the fifth ministry of Elijah. Therefore, notice, that happens after that half hour of silence. Send your power back on me again. Just 3.5 days. That's how long he'll be away. Then I will know not to tell my people or anybody about it, because you're fixing to come catch me away. And nothing happened. And I waited a while. Then I said, Lord Jesus, if it did not mean that, and it means that you've got something for me to do, and it'll be revealed to me later, then send your power. And it almost took me from the room. And there he draws a Star of David there to the right. I found myself somewhere over in a corner. I could hear my wife somewhere trying to shake a door. The door in the bedroom was locked. And there he writes, the closed door. Now, when that happens, notice the door will be closed. And I had a Bible open, was reading, I don't know, but it was in, I believe, Romans, the 9th chapter, the last verse. Behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, a stumbling stone, a precious cornerstone, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the left, and a star of David. And at the bottom he writes church, and he numbers them 5, 6, 7, and the 8, the number 8 at the top. Now, notice also here in the book of the seals, on page 481 from the book in Spanish, and there he says, 81 at the bottom. Now, do you notice? On the opening of the seventh seal, it's also in a threefold mystery. And there he writes the three purposes of the seventh seal. And on threefold mystery, he writes above, Moses, Elijah, Jesus. There lies the threefold mystery of the seventh seal. This one I have will speak and have spoke. That is the mystery of the seven thunders. The seven thunders in heaven will unfold this mystery. It'll be right at the coming of Christ, because Christ said no one knew when he would return. Did you notice when the Jews asked him that? When we compare the scriptures here in Matthew 24 with the sixth seal, the seventh seal was left out. Because you see, Christ said only God himself knowed, not even the angels. No wonder it wasn't even written. You see, they hushed. Nothing take place then. Angels don't know it. Nobody knows when he's coming. But there will be a seven voices of these thunders that will reveal the great revelation at that time. And there he writes the great revelation of the coming of the Lord. That's upwards. The seventh seal is the mystery of the seven thunders. And let's turn to 482 from the book in Spanish. At the top it says, so I believe to us who, if we don't know it, and if we, it won't be known till that time, but it will be revealed in that day, and he writes eighth day, in the hour, and he writes zero, in the 0 hour, that it's supposed to be revealed in. So, the thing for us to do is to be reverent before God, and serve him, and to do all that we know how to do, and live good Christian lives. And here on the left he writes, the seventh seal will be revealed. And he draws a cornerstone on the left and the ages, and he writes, hour on top, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Because it is in the cornerstone, that is, the hour of his coming, that is where that matter of revealing that seventh seal is fulfilled. And he writes on the right there, the seventh seal will be revealed to the public. In the tent. Do you want a more specific location? If all that's left for him to write is in the tent in Calle, Puerto Rico. In other words, notice since when he had written that, where it would be revealed, and what would be revealed? Where? In a tent. What would be revealed there? The seventh seal, the mystery of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. Now, he goes on to say, and all of that will be completely fulfilled in the fulfillment of the tent vision that God showed Reverend William Branham in the message, Look Away to Jesus. Here he tells us, on page 21 of this message, there is no more doubt in my mind. I know what the third pool is. And he draws a star of David there to the left. And on the right, the third pool. And I know what it does. Now, be reverent. Just keep quiet. The hour will soon arrive where God is going to do some great things for us. In the book of quotations, He also shows us something there. On page 25, let's read that short part there, in paragraph 211, which is where he said that something was going to happen. And here, in this portion, he narrates the tent vision, one of the many places where he does. But this is where he writes the way. Notice, he says, and it's been told me some time ago by a vision that the Lord gave me, some year ago, I suppose, or maybe a little more. I have it wrote out in a book at home, of a changing of a ministry. And then, some time ago, I was in a vision, and I saw a large tent. Oh, it was a mammoth big affair, and I'd just been speaking. Look, he had just finished what? Speaking. Therefore, that ministry would be doing what? Preaching. In other words, he is a preacher. And many souls were at the altar and were kind of weeping with their hands up quietly and softly. Now, the third pool is for the bride, the foolish and the lost, and the 144,000. And there on the right he writes upwards the tent vision. And he writes, look, that is where he writes. It wasn't in the denominational Pentecostal style. Everything was quietly and softly, with much reverence, reverently. In other words, it wasn't in the style that caused a lot of commotion and fuss. Rather, it was all quietly, softly, reverently. Remember that he wrote in a place where Brother Branham said that the Holy Spirit is timid. Now, there he tells us, or he writes the way for us. Notice, a nice, gentle-spoken man came out to the platform. And there in this one he writes, a nice, gentle-spoken man, and two question marks, as if to ask, who is it? Who will it be? I know who it is. And that person begins to say, and said, now, they will form the prayer line while Brother Branham is making ready, and he writes, Elijah being reflected. Notice, because he was ministering to the people at that moment, what God is going to give him, he's reflecting that vision that God showed him there. And I was standing that way, of course, the prayer line would be to my left. And I noticed a crowd of people that seemed to cover a city block or more that was standing in line. And there was a woman standing there, a man, one taking names. Here, notice, a man appears. In other places, it says, there is a woman at one door and the other woman at the other door. A man, one taking names, and people were going in on crutches and stretchers and coming out to the other side walking. Well, I wonder what all taking place there? And then that angel of the Lord, whose picture you see here, it went from me and went right over to that little building. Now, that's where he writes upwards. On the right, miracles taking place before Brother Branham arrived. In other words, before he came down, before he went down to the little room, he was already seeing all those things that were happening. And in a Bible study, they included that excerpt for him there. And he writes, the new ministry of the fourth Elijah, and in the fifth Elijah, it is the fifth ministry of Elijah in another prophet who will be one of the two olive trees. The new ministry of the fourth Elijah, and in the fifth Elijah, it is the fifth ministry of Elijah in another prophet who will be one of the two olive trees. And there he goes on to say, he says, and went right over that little building and stood there and went down, and a voice spoke and said, I will meet you in that place. Well, now I've looked forward for that time, And I'm hoping and trusting God that sometime during this week that I want to use this little room over here for a prayer room and to take the sick and the afflicted in and see if he... On top he writes the little room and the name. And Meta, or two women, the new ministry. Because that is what he's now about to say there. Will meet me and start at the tabernacle again. On the new ministry, I would sure love to see this done. I don't know what it is, my friends. I don't have any idea what it be. But he who listens now, I trust that it will be something more to help his poor, sick, suffering children of this day. I wanted to try to find out, when we go in the first time, if I could send my wife in there and let her be with me when it comes down the first time, to see if it'll be that way. If not, then in bringing women through, we'll bring them two at a time, two women at a time coming through, meaning inside, so that he could take two women at a time. So I'm not saying it'll work either way, just so that you would know, because it's already been said that we were looking for something new to take place, and we are. But now I don't say that he told me it would take place. Where I seen in the vision was in the tent, but of course, it might take place anywhere, anytime, so we're looking forward to it. What takes place, because in a vision it was a tent. He writes there on the left. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say, in the meantime, we continue working knowing that there is something great in store from God, and that we are blessed to have a part in that divine program. We are so blessed to be part of that divine program, which it has been given unto us to be part of, to be the actors of this great program. Fear God. And may He help us to have that virtue be deeply ingrained in us, godliness. Because notice what we read, that whoever fears God, fear of God is to be like God. So, do you want to be like God? Well, you have to have that virtue in your life. Fear of God equals to be like God. Because he said, ye are gods. Let's stand and we can sing a song. And that way we will prepare for this message. Fear God. We can sing, fill my soul with your Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that we ask to reign in our hearts. May He be enthroned there and take full control of our lives. Remember that children in our homes, even if some are a bit, well, wild, or I don't know how you say it here, mischievous, or, well, sometimes they are the ones who get the most smacks on the head. But not because their parents don't love them, but because we love them. And when I say smack on the head, it's because sometimes you give them a smack on the head because, well, at this end time, if you talk to them, they understand. And the power of the word is so great that that word has an effect on our children. May God help your children so that they continue in the ways of the Lord. And may He also help the slightly older children, because sometimes they are also a little, perhaps disorganized in their things, so to speak, and even ourselves. In other words, may God help us all. And if He has to give us a reprimanding, pull by the ears through the word, may He do so. May He shake us up. And thank you, Lord, for that shake, because I wasn't seeing what I needed to see. May God help us, because what we desire is to already leave this place to the house of our Heavenly Father. There are great promises, and we don't want to lose any of the blessings due to carelessness. As he would tell us in the construction in Puerto Rico, be careful not to be careless. In other words, we must be careful not to fall into carelessness and then regret that we shouldn't have done that and suffer the consequences. Well, let's sing. Fear God. In this subject, let's sing, Fill My Soul with Your Holy Spirit. This same message respects. Look, he says, Brother Branham says, yes, sir. Moses humbled himself in the presence when he heard the voice of God come forth like that, said, take off your shoes. And Moses reached right down and jerked his shoes off. See? That's right. In other words, he obeyed right away. Take off your shoes. Then I will take them off. Take off your high heels. Then I will take them off. Take off those pants. Then I will take them off. Take the makeup off your face. Then I'll take it off. And you men, stop the drinking, the cigarettes, and all those things that are not beneficial. And we do it because we obey him. Because we want to be gods with him. Paul, when that light smote him to the ground, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Said, Lord, who are you? Right down to the ground. Who is it? Said, I am Jesus. That pillar of fire, I'm Jesus. He writes, YHWH. Hard for you to kick against the pricks. Said, Lord, what must I do? He was ready. John the Baptist saw him coming, one of the greatest men. Jesus said, never had been a man born of a woman as great as John. And when John saw him, he recognized he was so little. He said, I am not worthy to take off his shoes. Amen. And he writes there, shoes. Always notice. A big man humbles himself. The way up is down. Always. Make yourself little, and God will bring you up. Don't bring yourself up. Let him bring you up. He that exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Oh my, I like that. Make yourself little. Always be little. Don't be a big shot. Be the little fellow, see? God is the only one among us that's big anyhow. That's right. You always say, it's a holy church, the holy people. Oh no, it is the holy God. That's right. And an unholy church and an unholy people, right? Ain't no such thing as a holy church. It is a holy God in the church. How does he make it? How does God make that church holy? By his presence. Because we couldn't become holy on our own. It's because he is in the midst of the church. That's what makes you holy. Because he says, give me a church. Give me a church. But look, give me a church. That entails so much. Give me a church. But what church? What church? Well, the church that has God in her midst. Not a holy people. It is the Holy Ghost in the people. Then, when you're talking not of the people, they are talking of the Holy Ghost that's in the people, see? Amen. Yes, sir. That's the right word. Amen. That struck home. I felt that one, yes, sir. He liked that. I know that glory. Yes, sir. All right. Make yourself little. He covered his face with two reverence. He humbled himself by covering his feet. Now, thirdly, with two he did fly. He put himself in action with two of them. He was reverent before God. He was humble before God. Not only that, he just didn't sit there, but he put himself in action. Talk about a church, amen. Put himself in action. Whatever he had, he was ready to go with it. Yes, sir. Only thing he could say was, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But he put himself in action with that. That's right. He got in action. Now, that was what we read in the book of the seals. When the seventh seal was opened, it compares it. That is, he speaks, he shows there what Isaiah had said regarding that action that was in heaven of that angel who said, 24/7, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. But suddenly he stopped doing that. Now, there was no action there. Now, where is the action? The action is in your soul, in your heart. That's where the action is today, because the seventh seal is in the midst of the church in action. Today, the action is on earth. That's what the church needs tonight, is first, be reverent. Next thing, be humble. Then, get yourself in action. Yes, sir. He showed the prophet. When he showed the prophet how he represented his servants, how he was going to do, what did this guy do, this angel? This prophet saw his voice shake the pillars in the temple. When they holler, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and the building shook, and an ellipsis, they holler again, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and the building shook. Today, the Church of the Lord, the mystical body of believers, says, holy, 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 Lord, because the action is here on earth. And the entire church bride has been shaken by this revival that God is bringing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Isaiah said, "Woe is me, a prophet, a vindicated prophet, born a prophet, the major prophet of the Bible," and he said, "Woe is me, for mine eyes have seen the glory of God." Oh, those who say, "Holy, holy, holy," have seen today, at this end time, the glory of God being manifested. Look at that prophet humble himself, a prophet, the man that the word of God came to. Today he has come to little messiahs today. The word has come not only to the prophet, it has come to the soul, to the heart of God's elect. But when he saw a vision in action, how many of you have seen the vision of the great tent cathedral in action? We have all seen it. Today we have seen what Isaiah saw in action there, in that vision. Today we have seen the tent vision in action. Why? You are part of that action. You do this, and you are in action in the third pool. Lord, I am in action today. How? By raising my hands. I am making an effort. This is an action before you, Lord. Today, on this day, I am in action. Today, it was given to me in this moment, in this second, to do this action in this third pool, to lift up my hands to you and fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I can worship you, I can ask it for you, and I can speak it, confess it. But when he saw a vision in action, he said, "Woe is me, for I am standing so close till I see the Lord's presence." Today you are standing before the presence of the glory of the Lord, of the Shekinah, of the pillar of fire that Reverend William Branham saw. He saw it speaking to somebody above him, and he saw it in a vision. You are seeing it today, hearing it today, live and in full color. Today you are seeing and hearing what he saw in a vision. Today we have the action of the vision. Write that down. Seeing the action of the vision. Fill my soul with your Holy Spirit.
Llena mi alma con tus
Yes, Lord. Let's live with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.